Amen. Only one came back. Many of you probably already know the Bible story that we're going to base our scripture on today. But only one came back. Last week we studied, don't let go of the treasure. When you find a treasure, how many of you found a treasure in Jesus? A few? Amen? All right, good. So when you find a treasure, you do whatever you can to keep that treasure. And I bet you if I went to some of your garages, some treasures that you consider treasures that other people consider trash is hanging out in that garage. Amen? Anybody have one of those? But for you, they're treasures. See, when you have a treasure, you do whatever you can to hold on to it, to keep it. And I know that this morning, as you go through your journey in Christ, that there are things that go on in your life that you don't know how it happened or why it's happening. But one thing remains the same, is that Jesus Christ is still a treasure no matter what. Amen? And we have to fight for that treasure. And we talked about that last week. And I think it's important as Christians that we never lose our passion to keep Jesus first in our lives, to keep him close. You know, our theme for 2016 this year is about we got to keep Jesus close. And, you know, people around you, your friends, your relatives, your family, you know, they're all going through a journey, and sometimes they struggle and sometimes you struggle. But at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to keep on putting him first in our lives. It's a daily commitment, intentional walk. Put him first. And when you find this treasure in Jesus Christ and you begin to see him move in your life, it's worth it all. So don't let go of this treasure. We talked about that last week. And we also talked about Ruth, how she found a treasure in the God of her husband and Naomi. And she wasn't going to let it go, so much so that she said, I'm leaving my family because they're serving another God. I found a treasure. And she went with Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. They changed the world because they did things right. They did things right according to God's word. Throughout all the book of Ruth, you see that. They did it right. And that's what we talked about last week. So that's where we've been going in the summer. And today I want to talk about only one came back. And the week before that, we studied about Abraham, the father of faith. If you want to understand faith, you have to understand Abraham, what he did with Isaac, why he went through. We talked about that. And the reason why Abraham went through the act of sacrificing his son was for one reason only. He knew that God was going to keep his promises, and if he had to raise his son from the dead, he would. And he knew, and he trusted God. He trusted God no matter what. And we know what happened with Abraham. And you know, when I read that story and I pointed out that God promised him that his seed would be as numbered as the numerous as the stars. And when we sit here together to think about it, that each and every one of us are part of that family, part of those stars. Isn't that amazing? Many thousands of years ago, God made a promise to Abraham, and as he was walking his son up that mountain, didn't understand, I'm sure, was going through mixed emotions, but he understood God's promise that his seed would number the stars. And here we are today, grafted into the kingdom of God, into the Abraham covenant. We're grafted in, and we're part of it. We're part of those stars that he looked up that night, and he saw God's promises. Wow, that's a lot of seed. And faith, that's faith, believing in God no matter what the circumstances. And today we'll be studying that one leper that came back. But before we get into the meat of this sermon, I want to remind everyone, I've been saying something the last few weeks, and I believe that this summer is a summer to set things right. And I'm not going to let that go, because I really believe that God's speaking to us. Don't feel like, oh, pastor's talking to me. It's for all of us. We have to set things right in the Lord. Amen. And I don't know what it is. And to each and every one of us, it's a different measure in our journey. But we have to set things right with the Lord the right way. The right way. God's way. Honor authority. Obey the laws of the land. All those little things that we can justify because, you know what? Nobody will know or whatever. Just set everything right before the Lord. Have a heart to do the right thing. And I wanted to remind everyone about that, because this summer, I believe, is the summer to set things right according to God's word. Not to man's word, not to our understanding, but to God's word. To God's word. We don't make excuses. We need to set things right before the Lord. And you won't regret it. Amen? When you set things right before the Lord, you repent and you come to Him and say, Lord, take everything. I surrender everything. You won't regret it. Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen. He is. And when you set things right before the Lord, then the mountains will move. Amen? You know, God does move mountains. He does. Foundation scripture. There we go, foundation. Luke 17:11. Let's start there this morning. We know the story well. Let's read it in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of the Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 that were healed, that were cleansed? But where are the other 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. You know, there's a few aspects to this story that is worth pointing out. Number one is that a Samaritan was considered lower than, they were thought of lowly in the Jewish culture, in the Israeli culture. And I think Jesus was pointing out that whatever your status is in life, or whatever your position is in life, or whatever your race is in life, or ethnicity is in life, Jesus doesn't look at that. Because it was only the Samaritan, the one that they looked down upon, that came back to give thanks. And I believe Jesus was making a point that whosoever, you know, God said it himself, for God so loved the world, he sent his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So first part of the story to point out is that it was the lowly Samaritan that came back to give thanks and glory to God. Only one came back. And in verse 19, it's when I read that, and he said, Arise, and on the way thy faith has made thee whole. By made thee whole, we weren't talking about his body. They were all healed. All 10 were healed. But what Jesus was talking about, your faith has made you whole. He was talking about a spiritual thing. A spiritual thing. Well, the Samaritans weren't supposed to be, you know, spiritual. But God said, your faith has made you whole. You came back and gave glory to God. You know, and you put the treasure in the right place. And you honored it, and he came back. When I was reading this story, I was thinking to myself, you know, I want to be that one. Amen? I don't want to be the 9. The 9 were just happy with the miracle. That's it. They're going to go do their own thing. I don't want to be the 9. I want to be the one that says to God, be the glory for all that is good. Amen? And that's what that story more than anything else brought out to me when I read it this last time. Is I want to be the one. I want our church to be the one that goes and gives glory to God by serving others or whatever we can do. I want to be the one. Don't let the next person be the one. You be the one. Don't let your mother, your father, your spouse be the one. You be the one. It always begins with you. Revival, repentance, always begins with you. I love what Pastor Green told me one time. He had a wife come and say, come to him for counseling. Fix my husband. And Pastor Green says, we're going to pray for you. No, you don't understand. It's my husband that needs fixing, not me. And Pastor Green was assistant. We're going to pray for you. Because the truth is, when you get your life right with God, He'll take care of the rest. Amen? And that is the truth. And I learned something that day. No, the wife was not a happy camper. She wanted Pastor to bring down the fire and the brimstone on her husband. That the walls come crumbling down. But no, it really does always begin with you. You can't control other people. But you can control you. You can be the one. And more than anything else, if you don't leave with anything today, you write one thing down, write this down. Everyone have a pen and paper? You write this down. It's this. I want to be the one that gives glory to God for anything. Anything that you see that's good in your life, give Him praise and glory. Take time to praise Him. You know, God loves that. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves people who give Him honor and praise. He's our Heavenly Father. I want to be the one, like we did yesterday. I want to be the one that is thankful to God that He's even chosen us. He's chosen you and me to do work for His kingdom. Like we did yesterday, going out to the community and just caring for people. I want to be the one that is willing to surrender all to see God's hand move. He can move every obstacle. He can move every mountain in my life, in your life. I want to be the one to say, Lord, I surrender all. I want to be the one that gives all honor and glory to God Almighty. I want to be the one that Jesus says, thy faith has made you whole. As He told this leper that was healed. And my question this morning is, do you want to be the one? Only one came back. Only one came back. I pray everyone in this place is passionate, committed to being the one that gives honor to God and glory to God for all good. You know, we all have a certain level of commitment. You know, when you're working in your job, you know, there's a certain level of commitment that different employees have, right? You have the employee that as soon as 5 o'clock rolls around, I'm out. Don't bother me again until Monday, right? It is what it is, right? You get paid for 8 hours, you work 8 hours. It's not wrong, right? That's what you signed the contract for, right? And then there's some that's willing to work beyond their eight hours, right? It's not right or wrong. It's just a level of commitment. I bet you that same person may have a commitment where they're willing to go extra mile and somewhere else, right? So it's not, but it's just a level of commitment, right? Some of you have teenagers that are committed to that video game, right? They're committed. Do they still play video games or did they move on to something else that I don't know about? Is it still the Xbox? Is that still what's in? Maybe Marky not there to answer that question. Yeah, that's still in? All right. Committed. And you'll see them working on it. Right now, my wife's going to get mad at me for saying, I can't. My wife is committed to watching reruns from Star Trek. She figured out how to use the Netflix through the dish. And now it's Star Trek. Committed. I've never seen such commitment. It's good. It's all good. We all have a level of commitment for different things in life. Some of you are committed to knowing what the latest fashions are and wishing that you could afford it, right? Committed. But we know all we need to know. When I have the money, I'll go get it. Some of you are committed to never missing that sporting event, right? Yeah, amen. That's good. It's just commitment levels. Well, you know, your level of commitment to live right, to do right according to God's word, how committed are you? How much do you value what Jesus Christ has done for you? You know, as pastor, whenever someone misses church. They begin to miss church more frequently. I do begin to worry, and I don't begin to worry because you need church to get to heaven. You won't read that in Scripture anywhere. You need church to get to heaven. But more because in church is God's presence, and we need to be where God is. And in Matthew 18, verse 18, God's word says this, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So when I say this morning that the reason why I get worried is because I know that each and every one of us need to be in God's presence. You know, being filled with the Spirit is not something that you can just put on a chart and say, look, the Bible says to walk in the Spirit, be filled in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here's the answer. You go here, you do A, B, C. There are things that you do to be in an opportunity, in a place where you get filled. Be caught doing something good, in other words. For example, when you're in church, you have an opportunity to be filled and to receive of what God has for you. Amen? Now, it doesn't mean you do, because people can get dragged to church and just kind of close their hearts, right? But you're there. And sometimes when we're having a bad day or a bad week, we want to close our hearts because we're not happy with God. That happens, right? Sometimes we're just not happy. But I know the Bible says where three or three are gathered. That means if there's two or three people that have come and are in agreement to hear from God, to be in His presence, the Bible promises that He will be there in the midst of that gathering. I believe that with all of my heart. And it's important that we be where God is whenever we get a chance. Amen? Because God, Jesus said Himself, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. God purposed in His word that we gather together, and He promised that He would be in our midst. Take that to the bank, as they say. It's a promise from our God. Amen? So back to your level of commitment. Everybody has different levels of commitment. So I want to challenge you this morning. Because if you want to be the one that comes back, if you want to be the one, there's got to be commitment in certain things in your walk with the Lord. So this morning, what is your level of commitment to read your Bible every day? Because this level of commitment reflects how much you value. How much you value. Here's the truth. How much we value the hell that God got us out of. Amen? Because we all were headed there until we found Jesus, and then He turned everything around. Because the cross, the resurrection changes everything for us. So if you value that, then you're committed to opening up your Bible and saying, Lord, I may be tired, I may not understand, but I'm getting this in. Because that's my level of commitment. Because I want to be the one that gives glory to God. Amen? And your level of commitment of praying for your family, praying for your heart, praying that you change, praying for miracles, praying for talking to God. Your level of commitment to do that on a daily basis also reflects how much you value that treasure. That treasure. Your level of commitment of being in church where two or three are gathered, He is there, and I want to be where He is. That also shows our value to the treasure. Your level of commitment to give in obedience to God's word reflects how we value our commitment, our treasure. Matthew 13:4, just a few pages back. It's a challenge this morning that when we leave this place, all of us look down deep in our hearts and say, how committed am I to being the one that comes back to give glory to God? You see, all these things I mentioned, reading your Bible, praying, you know, giving and being in gatherings together, all these things, they show they're just products of someone who's seeking God. You don't have to try too hard when you have decided to follow Jesus to do these things. But it's when we don't want to let everything go that's hard. So this morning, if you're asking yourself and you're looking in your heart, do I read? Do I pray every day? Do I give? Do I go to church consistently? Do I do these things? If your answer is, well, I'm not quite sure, then it's something you need to analyze your heart and say, Lord, forgive me. This should be easy. Because if I want to be that one leper that came back, that's giving glory to God. Those things give glory to God. Those principles are what Christians who love God do with pleasure and joy. Amen? And if you're having struggling with any of those, it doesn't mean you're a horrible person. It means one thing. Let it all go. Let it all go. And just trust Him. And trust Him. And learn of Him. He is good. In Matthew 13:4, it says, oh, I don't have the right scripture there. Let me see if I can find it. It's 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and he buyeth the field. When you find this treasure in Jesus, and when you value how much what he's done for you, how he saved you from hell, when you value all of this thing, you sell all. Amen? And to me, when we say sell all, it means surrender all. Which means that when we surrender all and it's all about God's will and not our own will, then these four principles are like a joy. Amen? Amen? And so look down deep. This is a summer, I believe, where God wants us to set these things right. Not that it will be, every day will be awesome. No, but we all know life is a journey of ups and downs. But to know down in your heart that you do have a heart like the one that came back to give glory to God. Just to know that is peace and joy. Just to know that you set things right in every area of your life. It's worth it all. It's worth it. All these other principles in the Bible and all these other teachings, they just start coming natural to you when you begin to give God the honor and glory He's due and you begin to do these things, the commitment. Just do it. Because when you have found the treasure, you sell all. You sell it all. When you find Jesus, you surrender all. It's so true. When you encounter the forgiveness and the love of God, you're just not the same person anymore. Amen? Amen. Because He's good. I want to close with this. In Psalm 51:10. You know, in order to become that one that comes back, like that leper, I want to compare this heart, like David's heart. David, King David, was a man with faults. He sinned. But even after David sinned greatly, when he was confronted, and we all have to ask ourselves this question, when I'm confronted with the truth. I'm not committed. I'm not doing putting God first. I want Him second. I want to do my own thing. When we're honest with ourselves and we come to that point and we're confronted with it. When David was confronted and was told, "You are that man that caused that sin, a great sin." David repented and prayed one of the most humbling from the heart prayers that I have ever read. And I love the song and I love this prayer, because every once in a while when things get confusing, when things get a little hectic, or when you're not feeling God with you close, I like to sing this to myself or pray this psalm, because it keeps me grounded. One of the hardest things to do is analyze your own heart. We all have motives. Analyzing your heart, what is your motive? Because when it's the Spirit of God directing your path, your motive is not about you. Your motive is about the kingdom. And when you read Scripture, God says, when you're part of my kingdom, you serve, you love, and you care for people. And that's what starts happening when you analyze your heart. And so David did that. And when I read this Scripture, a lot of times I had trouble getting through it without crying, but I'll do my best today to not choke up. David realized he had sinned against God and that he had gotten a little too confident in himself, and he was king, right? He could do anything. He had the power of king. But he was confronted, and even with all that power on this earth as king, he cries out, verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." I ask Michelle to come and get ready to play some music as we close. But as I read this, this sounded like David was begging God to change him. This is the same David that had the faith to bring down Goliath. This is the same David that walked with God in the field with the sheep as a shepherd. And the lion and the bear came, and God gave him strength to overcome, and he protected the sheep. And when he came to face Goliath, he had so much faith, and he said, they asked him, "How are you going to defeat this Goliath?" And he says, "The same God that was with me that killed the lion and the bear is with me right now, and this giant is coming down." This is David. He had it all together, but all of a sudden he allowed the king, power of king, and the power of this world to mix in with God, and he no longer had that commitment until one day he was confronted. And he was told the story, and he was so mad at that story and that guy who killed that man, and the prophet confronted him and said, "You are that man." And instead of David saying, "I am king, you can't tell me what to do," David got on his knees and he said, "Lord, forgive me. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me." He knew that his spirit was wicked and hard and dark. And he said, "Lord, I can't take it no more. You're right. I ask for forgiveness. Create in me a clean heart. Renew my spirit. It's darkness, Lord. I want you." And he says, and this is the part that gets me. He says, "Cast me not away from your presence." He realized that day that the presence of God was departing him. And he saw Saul go through the same thing. And he said, "Not me. I will be the one that comes back." And he said, "It won't be me." And he comes and he begs, "God, cast me not away. And he begs him. And he says, put a right spirit within me. And then that last in verse 12. And I can relate, and many of you can relate, when that joy is gone. Here we are, Christians. We're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to have faith. But yet, the joy was gone. Because he left his priorities. He left his commitment. The joy was gone. And he says, restore unto me the joy. I bet you he was remembering that day when he slew down Goliath. And there was joy in the land. This morning, I believe we need to be like David. We can't justify anything that's not according to this word. If we're too busy for God, we need to be like David and say, Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. Change my heart. I should have passion to read my Bible. I should have passion to pray. I should have passion to serve. I should have passion to do whatever it takes to advance the kingdom. Lord, in my will, let it die. But your will, let it live in me. That's our passion. And this morning, I believe that we need to act on this word. If we need to beg God to create a new heart in us, to change us from the inside out, I believe we should do that this morning. I'm going to open up the altars and just, it's between you and God. Maybe you need to do what David did and just say, Lord, I love you and I've accepted you into my heart. But Lord, I recognize that my commitment is not there. Maybe today is the day you leave this place and he does create a new heart in you and his spirit will not be cast away from your spirit. You have joy. You need that joy restored. The answer has been and always will be surrender to Jesus Christ. With every eye closed and head bowed, don't ever be too proud to reply or to respond to the Holy Spirit's tugging of your heart. No one else needs to know what it is that's stopping you from being committed. Nobody else. This is between you and God. I'm just going to open up the altars and just come and kneel or stand and just do what David did and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. And beg him not to cast his spirit from you. I know you're not bad people. I know you're good people. But here today, God doesn't just want us to be good. He wants us to be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be surrendered because the truth is that when we set things right, when we repent before the Lord for the little things, you're about to see signs and wonders because God is never short in blessing people who diligently seek him. In the count of three, as Michelle leads us in a song, if that's just you, you just your commitment. You've seen God do amazing things, but it's time to go back like that one leper and give God glory and give him thanks. That's you. Just respond to him this morning. And together, as a church body, we will rejoice and be glad. I want to be that one that gives God glory in Jesus' name. One, two, three.